Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
Praise God, amen. Well, welcome to Ticker. Thank you for that rousing enthusiasm. I've been in Branson, everybody plays a guitar, everybody sings, everybody's smiling. We're going to bring some of that back to the cornfields. And what a great day to live in, to have the opportunity that we have to make a difference in people's lives. Would you stand with me today? I'm in the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. We're reading from the New Living Translation, and we are in verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Before you're seated, tell somebody, guard your heart. Amen. God bless you today. If you want to walk by faith, if you want that life-changing hope and strength to be in your life, then examining your heart, guarding your heart, what you allow into your heart at some point in your life will issue out of your heart and either bless your life and others or contaminate your life. I love what the Message Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. The King James says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, it's interesting because we judge others by their actions, but we want to be evaluated on our intentions. So you don't understand. I've been hurt. That's why I said that. I was rejected. That's why I was so mean to you. Aren't you a Christian? Yeah, but you don't understand. So we try to disarm everybody else by what we've been going through, but at times we do not have the understanding or the compassion for others. And in our flesh, we can war, fight, cuss, do all these different things, and we will simply go, you know, I'm just a work in progress. But if anybody else does that, we'll talk with someone else over coffee and say this, can you believe how they acted? Well, I'm going to plow anyway today. The Amplified Bible says about Matthew 12, 34, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Whatever is in your heart will determine what you say. Do you remember the little song we sang in Vacation Bible School? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful. It's an amazing thing in our culture that we have embraced certain doctrines that once we allow Jesus Christ to come into our life, we find excuses for our own behavior, but no tolerance for anyone else. And it's in our culture and it's in our society. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, there is an intolerance for anyone who does not believe like you, who doesn't walk in the things of God like you. In the altar call last Sunday morning, I don't remember ever being in a service in almost 40 years of ministry where I saw more brokenness. Every person that I approached, just an element of brokenness in their life. But brokenness is not bad if it is used as a tool of surrender to God. Because the challenges of life that we go through, some people find a way to manage their pain and find something else to help them through that process of pain. And if it's not Jesus, that's how addictions are birthed. That's how behaviors begin. Because when you come to a point where you are desperate, you have an enormous need in your life, and it's created a desperation in your life. In that desperation, you can sense brokenness. But just because you're broken doesn't mean you turned to the Lord Jesus. In your brokenness, you can turn to other things to numb the pain. And before you know it, you're hooked, you're addicted, you're dysfunctional, you're malfunctional, you don't know what's happened in your life. But somewhere you had an opportunity to guard your heart, to surrender everything that your heart was to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you embrace relationships above the relationship you can have with Him, you will be hooked on relationships and believe that people have the answer. Only Jesus has the answer because He is the answer. But if in your brokenness you turn to Him and create surrender, surrender then releases the power of God. And when the power of God is released in your life, not only will you be healed, but you will have the ability to take what you walk through, and it will become a weapon to deliver others. I'm preaching better than your response, but it's okay. Sometimes we don't understand what other people are going through, but we want everybody to understand what we're going through. How many of you, like me, speak so loud in your own mind that you think other people heard you, but you never said anything? You're just speaking, or you know somebody. Maybe they're sitting close to you. Maybe they're under the same roof. And they, because they thought it, they believe they said it. Many an argument has begun over, no, you didn't. Yes, you did. You can neutralize all of that by surrender and saying, maybe I didn't. Or did I communicate it accurately? Because I want to talk about the heart. He said, guard your heart, the King James says, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. We all have issues. We all have issues that are a result and proceed out of what the Bible calls our heart. Well, how do we locate the heart? We have a physical heart, and whatever we eat, whatever we drink, how we handle stress, how we handle pressure, what we do in the midst of an opportunity where we're broken, all of those things affect the quality of our heart. Now, there are moments when electricity, which has great power, electricity has the power to shock you and cause you to stop breathing. But if electricity is monitored in the proper portion, it can reset the rhythm of your heart. When I had open heart surgery, they stopped my heart. Somebody said, so that's what the problem is. Absolutely. And I'll milk that until I die. What's your problem? They stopped my heart. That way I don't have to deal with the issues of my life. We all look for reasons. You don't understand. This was the way I was raised, which is supposed to justify our actions. But to the person that was the recipient of our anger, our mean-spiritedness, our unforgiveness, that is not proper validation. So they put my heart and lungs on a heart and lung machine. When they got ready and they were finished with all of the bypasses, then they took me off of the heart and lung machine and used a pacemaker to get my heart back in rhythm. Some of you, the issues that you're having is that your heart is out of rhythm with the Word. Your heart is just out of rhythm with Jesus. It is in rhythm with other things that have created issues. Hallelujah. I am going to help you in this series. And so if the proper amount of power is administrated to our spiritual heart, then our spiritual heart can get back in alignment, in a flow, in a cycle, in a rhythm with God. And when we are in that rhythm, then our heart is healed and whole. If you're dealing today with issues that Jesus delivered you from years ago, and you want to go back to that, and you embrace old patterns of behavior, your heart is not healed. If today you periodically have issues that come and tempt you, and you embrace something from the past, and yet you are remorseful, God can heal that. But Peter says the pig has gone back to the mire. If you don't understand it, hogs love the mud. You can clean them up. You can take a wire brush until their skin is pink and they're squealing. But the moment they get the opportunity to go back to what they're comfortable with, they'll break through a fence, they'll run over you, and they'll lay on their black back in the mud and the sunshine having a great time. But you put a sheep in the mud and that sheep will cry. Because it's contrary to a sheep's nature. Is there anybody else in this place besides myself that has ever messed up? You didn't intend to do it. It wasn't on your bucket list for that day, but you messed up in what you said, what you did, or what you thought. Two of us. Okay, praise God. We're making some progress. But you feel remorse, you feel bad about it because you're allowing the Holy Spirit and the Word to deal with your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. Psalms 14, verse 3, David makes a marvelous statement about the unregenerated heart, the heart that is not born again, the heart that is not saved, the heart that has not been touched by God. Because we're going to discover this, that God tests the heart, He touches the heart, and He can transform the heart. David said, they are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. It is not in you and I without Jesus to do good. Paul said, there is no good thing in my flesh. So the condition of my heart will determine how I walk, whether it is surrendered to God. When I go through an opportunity where I am broken, do I surrender or do I look for something external to fix it? If I'm looking for something external, let me just give you a bullet point. You can tweet this. Those people that are inconsistent in private are very religious in public. Because as your private life goes, so goes your public life. Jesus dealt with it with the Pharisees. They would stand on the street corner. They would pray great prayers. They had phylacteries, which were scriptures that would hang around their head. They would quote these great scriptures. And Jesus gave a story about a sinner and a Pharisee. And the Pharisee beat his chest and said, God, thank you that I'm not like one of these sinners. But the sinner reached and screamed out to God and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Religious people try to put on an outward appearance of propriety, that they've got it all together, but in private, they're dysfunctional, pulled apart. They watch things they shouldn't. They read things that contaminate their heart. Not realizing that under pressure, whatever they've put in their heart will seep out and contaminate their life or others around them. I'm helping you more than you realize. And so we have become highly developed in the church at memorizing scripture to evaluate others, and we call it ministry. But what I discovered in the altar last Sunday, from one wall to the other, were people that were going through struggles and challenges and temptations. Some in their marriage, some with their children, some with other things in their life, because challenges come to every one of us in every form. The devil is not a respecter of persons, but neither is your God. And when your heart is totally surrendered to God, God will do something enormous in your life. And I just saw the brokenness in their life. And I told one woman, what you need to do right now is just totally surrender to God. And when you're in the midst of a struggle, that almost seems cliche-ish. You understand what I'm saying? You're going through a struggle. Maybe you've been in the church for a while, and you're telling me I need to surrender? Because in our church culture, we said, well, I did that long ago, down on my knees. I surrendered. But surrender is not just a one-time process. And then you get on the showboat called the church. The church is not a cruise liner, my friend. It's a rowboat. We're all rowing in the same direction. We all have the same needs. We're all going to a particular point called the destiny that God has for us. So we need a heart change. If you're here today and you don't believe that you need a heart change, could I talk to your kids or your spouse? Because they'll be more honest than you. Because in relationships, we are not proactive, we are reactive. And we find ourselves simply responding to what somebody says without listening to the totality of what they want to communicate to us, because we have prejudged it, because our own heart needs to be massaged by the Word of God. We need our heart healed. We need our heart touched. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, Jeremiah said this, "The heart is desperately wicked above all other, and who can know it?" It's difficult to even know the capacity of your own heart. Have you ever been angry? Can I rephrase that? Have you ever been mad? Have you ever been livid? Have you ever been furious? Do you ever want to hurt somebody? But you knew you shouldn't, because it holds 3 to 5, and then I have to talk to Megan. And Have you ever been hurt so bad that you had a major decision? Either I surrender this to God and I forgive, or I pray that somehow that recompenseful judgment comes back on them because they deserve it for what they've done. And in that moment, we never consider what we've done. We've never considered the elements of our own heart that need to be touched, and yet we want to see the world won. How does that happen? How do we facilitate that? The capacity to hurt somebody that you didn't think was in your heart because you were just in service, loving everybody, and power God touched your life. You went down in the spirit and got up, but no change took place. We don't know the capacity that's in our heart. Only God knows our heart. And when God begins to deal with our heart, he is simply trying to deal with it in the arena of wholeness so that we can move to a platform of success. God wants you to be successful every day of your life. He wants you to live in the joy of the Lord. He doesn't want you to deal with issues from the past, from 30 years ago, every day, and then you talk yourself out of hating somebody because you hear yourself talk and you go, I shouldn't be that way, but you are, because your heart needs to be massaged. God is the God that changes the heart. He is the only one. That should be a capital G. God, forgive us. You are not just a little God. You are the great big God, Almighty. And so, in the midst of everything that we're challenged with, let me dive into something, because we have an ethnic challenge that is very divisive in our culture. Hispanics, blacks, whites, Asians, we have been mandated by the law in this nation to respect one another. We fought a civil war over ethnicity. And yet a law cannot change your heart. And the laws that are on the books in this nation have not changed the hearts of men and women. Only the power of the gospel can change a person's heart. The heart of the matter is the heart of the matter. And I've heard individuals from both sides of the spectrums. I've talked to white pastors who have no ethnicity in their leadership, and they go, well, I have black friends, as if to say, I'm okay, but they haven't dealt with the issue in their heart. I've been with black pastors that said, yeah, I've got a few white friends, and we still haven't dealt with this, because the enemy wants to invade the corners of our heart where we are not healed. Or if you've been through divorce, and now you're remarried, but this wife begins to act in ways and say things that remind you of your first wife and second wife, and now you're on your fifth wife, maybe it's time for the heart to get healed. I'm not placing blame. Divorce happens every day. I'm not placing condemnation on anyone, but I'm saying when we go through problems and we go through struggles, somewhere we've got to get the heart healed. We were having lunch with somebody the other day that did not know us, and they made the mistake of asking, well, Bishop, how many children do you have? I look at my wife. We always want to wait and make them wait with bated breath before we give them the answer. And we go, 7. And then we go, waiter, could you come and get some smelling salts for our friends here? Because I've been told I look 70, and my wife's been told she looks 45. I'm a lucky man. Whatever you allow to hide in your heart at some point, if it's not healed, will leak out and contaminate your life. I'm in the second chapter of the book of Romans, and Paul makes an enormous statement that affects the very fabric of our being. He says, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself, for you who judge others do these very same things. I've been in the midst of religious people who make it known how holy they are and judge everybody else, and yet by their own judgment, they eliminate themselves from any possibility of holiness. And so when we do that, we find ourselves recognizing not to beat ourselves up, but to realize that our heart needs to be touched by the things of God and needs to be healed. In verse 2, and we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? So when you go through challenges or you have the Holy Spirit or the Word of God check you on an issue in your life or something that you say, don't take that as a reprimand from heaven or that God hates you. He's just trying to get your heart in a posture where it can surrender and be healed so that you can do what you've been called to do and walk in the power of God that God has placed upon your life. God will be faithful to operate in your life to remove the things that are hindering you in your heart so that you can move to a place of success. I believe he wants us to change the way that we see things, because sometimes our view of things is slanted based on our historical reference points, the way we were raised, the way we were spoken to, the way our home was set up, how things moved, how things operated, how you first came in contact with the church. Whatever happened there can affect your heart. Let me define the heart for you. It is the combination of experiences that you have had for as long as you can remember that you embrace. And if your heart does not get healed, all of those experiences contribute to you making a decision. Can I just share with you? Well, I don't like them because they're a different color, and I was told when I was growing up not to be around them. Or I was told not to hang out with them. And don't get close to this generation, because some of them are still wearing their pants down below their, this is a real term, buttocks. Hello, I don't know how they walk. I just don't. But it's not my point to judge them, because when I was their age, I was doing things that the generation in front of me thought was very radical. I grew my hair really long. As long as it could, okay? Had sideburns way down here. How many of you remember the, I call them lamb chops. I don't know what they called them. But we all find ourselves being affected by how we were raised, by our experience in church. We find ourselves, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the combination of experiences that we've had over the years, if we do not allow God to heal our heart, can damage, can hurt, can destroy other people or destroy ourselves. Because it's coming out of our heart. And the challenge in our culture is to take people beyond their initial experience where they come to an altar, they repent of their sins, Jesus touches their life. That's not the end. That's the end of the beginning. That is the springboard into the waters of God's presence and power where he can change our heart. I don't know about you, but I need my heart touched every day, because there are things that happen during the day that affect your thinking, your decision-making, your wisdom. There are things that happen that want to contaminate the direction of your life. And if you don't stop and go, Lord, am I responding out of a pure heart? Am I responding out of a heart that is whole? Or am I responding out of a heart because of what my wife said this morning or news that I just got that I was not anticipating? Am I responding out of my emotions? What is my motive for this response? Am I responding out of a pure heart? I have not arrived there, but we are on this journey today. And so in the midst of the influences of our past, of our present, maybe even influences in the future that deal with us in the realm of fear, we respond in certain ways, like, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. You don't understand. I don't have the propensity, the capacity to do what God's asking me. God would never ask you to do something that he didn't give you the power and the weapons and the tools to accomplish. Can I take you to Colossians chapter 2 for just a moment? Because there are people that believe that the heart is the spirit. But I need to challenge that, because every one of us today, in our honest examination, would have to say there are moments that things come out of our heart that we didn't intend. It's not what we wanted to think about. It's not what we wanted to say. But in Colossians 2:10, Paul says, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, he actually comes into your spirit, that place in your life that he created specifically for him. And you are complete or whole in that place. But what you've allowed and the degree to which you've allowed Jesus and his word to come into your life will either strengthen or diminish your capacity to make decisions, to walk uprightly before God. Because the power of the word of God can affect past circumstances, how people treat you, what they said to you. I know my dad loved me. He was 92 years old when he passed away. But I can tell you on one finger how many times my dad said, you did a good job. Now, I have a choice to make. I can either allow myself to have people enable me because I didn't get the affirmation that I needed. I can let it affect my identity and go, well, I guess I'll just never be anything. I had a dad in my life, but he never told me he loved me. I just need somebody to love me. What I'm doing is controlling people by my emotions. If I will go to the Word of God and find out and discover that I am complete in him, then I minimize the need for your affirmation. Because I have the opportunity to worship God anytime, every day, 24 hours a day if I desire. And it's in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. And so it's his word and his presence that makes me whole. I love you. I thank God for you. I want you to accomplish your destiny. But I do not need your affirmation to survive. Hello? Many are not there yet. But I know my dad loved me. I don't know what he experienced with his dad. I don't know. So do I go on a genealogical chase to discover the elements of the problem, or do I immediately go to the solution and say, I am complete in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm going to walk uprightly before him. God is for me and not against me. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible to him that believeth. So I discover that as I get into the word of God, that my heart is turned. Proverbs 17, verse 3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. He tests the heart to find out what's in it. Do you know how they make cologne? They take rose petals or flowers and they will crush them. And when those are crushed, it emanates a fragrance. When you're under pressure, what kind of a fragrance are you giving out? Listen, my wife, when we first got married, Jenny wasn't very old. And I remember that Jenny was old enough to walk around, and Deb would have to be at class, and she'd leave on a Monday, come back late on a Tuesday night. And I remember that Jennifer came to me one day, and I thought, she's not wearing perfume. This is a different smell. And I was by myself. I had nobody to call for. I had nobody to contact. I had nobody to get a hold of. And I remember that, how many of you know you never forget something you see? It's lodged in a portion of your brain somewhere called memory. I can remember this day, her walking down the hallway in a particular marching cadence to the bathroom. I gently took her pajama bottoms off, exposing the problem. I tried to take her diaper loose. We didn't have Pampers back then. We had long pins, diapers, and a bucket that had bleach in it. But you never put the diaper there until you rinsed the diaper out. You did your best to get all of the bodily fluids off the diaper so that when it was washed, and so I remember, I still have a gag reflex thinking about it. How many of you are gaggers? And I was at a loss because we didn't have wet wipes in those days. You got a paper towel and you put water on it. And I was out of paper towels. So my creativity kicked in. I took that little 14-pound behind and stuck it under the faucet of the tub. Somehow, we're going to get this baby clean. So I wonder, is it possible? And she was dressed up in her pajamas. Is it possible that we get all dressed up and come to church, and yet God sees there's an issue in our heart that is contaminating our life, and other people see it? We're not aware of it because sometimes we get comfortable with our poo. I know kids that would crawl off in a corner and hide from their parents to do their job. Hours later, you would discover them with the problem. I've got to hurry on. I need to read in Colossians chapter 2. Let's go back to that and verse 11, because there is an experience that we can have that helps us. Here's what Paul says: in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Let me stop right there. We're going to discover that water baptism is the circumcision of the heart. Can I just be real plain with you for a moment? Circumcision of the flesh is cutting away of the flesh at the point of life-giving. And out of our heart come the issues of life. So God says, I have a remedy for some of the issues of your heart. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Jewish people understood this. They understood Genesis 17, that if you didn't have physical circumcision, you were cut off from the covenant. Buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Water baptism is a spiritual operation that cuts away some of the issues of the heart and helps our heart get healed. Does that make sense? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, he was the recipient of this scripture. John the Baptist said, there is one who's coming after me, whose shoe laces I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Put Proverbs 17:3 back up. What did Solomon say about the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold? Heat and pressure cause God to find out what's in your heart. Is there love there? Is there hatred? Is there strength there? Or is there an element of weakness? And I need to shock your heart back into rhythm. I need to apply some of the power of the Word of God. Listen to me carefully. If the church at large does not walk in a pure heart, I don't know that we have the capacity to reach the world and to walk in faith and miracles as we say we do. I didn't mean to bring doom in your day. This should help you because I want my heart to be right with God. I want to be the vehicle and the conduit through which he can flow and touch people's lives. Do you know how well you sleep at night when your heart's right? You don't toss and turn because there are issues in your heart. So God allows us to go through pressure or through the fire so he can discover the motivation of our heart. Job said, when I have come forth, he has tried me as gold. I will come forth as gold. A refiner stops the process when he sees his reflection. He scoops away the dross. I don't know about you, but I've got some dross in my life, some I probably am not aware of until I am confronted with particular issues, and I have the choice at that moment to either retreat and hide and cover the issues of my heart and find something to help the pain of that revelation of the light of the Word being shown in my heart, or I surrender. There are no other options. My question is, how great does the pain in your life have to be before you surrender? Or are we still having an excess and a surplus of remedies that only cover our heart like a salve, but they don't heal it? Sometimes we run to a variety of things. You want the faith to move mountains? You want hope to be manifest in your life where you are unchanging? Then give your heart to the Lord. You say, but I gave my heart to the Lord. Just because you gave your heart to the Lord at a particular time does not mean that there are not influences that try to influence your life as you walk with God. I learned something very enormous Sunday morning. We'll share it with you someday. Something I didn't see, something I hadn't perceived, but it was under pressure that God showed me. And in that moment of pressure, we either surrender to God or we hide or we find the remedy quickly. Hello? How many of you enjoy going to the doctor? Or the dentist? How many of you wait till your tooth is aching so bad that you are willing to do what my father-in-law did once and take a pair of pliers and pull it out yourself? That's when my wife and family found him on the bathroom floor. Isn't it amazing that we allow the pain to get so intense before we go somewhere to get the remedy? I'll be honest with you. I thank God for doctors, but I do not like to go to a doctor's office. Do not close the door. Do not lock me in there without any way out. I have to have a way out. You open that door. I have to have some breathing space. I don't like him coming in and pushing on areas of my body. Do not push right there. I will hurt you. My cardiologist, she's this tall. She pushed there. I said, don't do that again. It was just an immediate response. Why? Because of pain from the past. And sometimes pain from the past causes us to act with anger and indignation in the now because it hasn't been healed. And when a nerve in your body has been severed, it takes a long time for that to be healed. And when the emotions in our life have been damaged or have been struck with incidents and rejection and the whole component of things that make us feel less than an individual or a person or anyone that has the potential or the possibility to do anything for God, sometimes we react quickly and God wants to heal us of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, then we'll pray. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motive of our heart. When you study the word motive, it has the same root word as emotion. So God is simply saying, when I examine your heart and allow you to go through particular circumstances, I need to discover what the motive of your life is, and I discover it by allowing your emotions to be touched. Lord, thank you for this rousing applause. Somebody in heaven is clapping. No, don't do it now. It's too late. It's just, no, you're fine. Sometimes we find a way to endure the pain and keep on going to do what we want. In relationships, in our marriage, in our businesses, on the job, in the church, it's difficult to appreciate what you have not invested in. If you're struggling in your marriage, what have you invested? If you're struggling with the church, what have you invested? If you're struggling with relationships, what have you invested? God is requiring something of the church in the day that we live in. He's wanting us to rise to a new level so that the power of God can be manifest in greater ways, ways that we read about in the book of John when Jesus said, it's expedient for me to go away. For if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. The Comforter can't come. The Paraclete, the Strength, the Counselor can't come. And when I go away, greater things will you do because I go to my Father. The Lord spoke to me this week about something. I just want to read it to you. Would you stand with me today? Safe worship will not be enough to change your circumstance. Conservative worship may not be enough to change your circumstance. See, but I went to church this morning. Did you sing? Well, not, yeah, it's kind of. Did you lift your hands to God? No, that's embarrassing to me. Really, your heart needs healed. Did you shout to God today? No, I just don't shout. No, that's not true. You do shout. The object of your shout is different. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Conservative worship, in other words, worship that has no manifestation at all. You say, but my heart's right with God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is in your heart is going to come out. Hallelujah. You say, you're just loud. I may be, but I know that God is healing my heart. And I'm moving in the direction of his will and of his purpose. Safe worship will not be enough to change your circumstance. But greater worship will require a heart change. Or maybe our circumstances are still within the realm of our control. But if things in your life are out of control, you need a God who is in control, who nothing will surprise him, nothing will overtake him. His power, his ability is activated by worship from a heart that is desperate and surrendered.
God bless you. So honored that you would connect with us in this program. We pray that this message from the Word of God has been a great blessing to you, has transformed you. Maybe it has released desire to be more than what you ever thought you could be. That's His plan for you. Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, says God, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to a place of great hope. We'd love to hear from you. You can connect with us through Facebook or Instagram. We want you to know we're praying for you. We call you blessed. Looking forward to hearing from you today.